What day is it?
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it, show.
Let's go.
Woo!
JQ, the Mystical Wolverine fan.
What? Oh, man. What? Rob must be smoking or drinking or something. Wow.
Yeah, he wild.
I just wanted to see if he was sober.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, no, I'm most definitely sober.
Man, that's how we're gonna start off the show, man. Just like, you know, man, Rob's already firing shots, man. It's again, we want to definitely show some love to JQ because he had his birthday. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I got nothing for that. But again, it's a whole other conversation right now, man. Man, we are Official Talking Sports 12th, man. Again, shout out to JQ. Hope you had a fantastic birthday, bro. You know, I hope you woke up at like 1, 12 o'clock. I don't even, doesn't even matter, man. As long as you had a chance to enjoy your day. Good time
for
you.
We'll check in. Like a teenager.
Nice.
Just like a teenager.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. And then, again, shout out to Marsh. A lot of fun on our anniversary, man. 24 years, man. Been putting up with me for that long, man. So a lot of love
wow.
for her as well, man.
That's
so,
awesome, man.
Yeah,
happy
man.
Anniversary.
Appreciate that, man. So we are kicking it. But, again,
Marsh did a great job keeping Andre in line.
We have to, yeah, I can't hear you, but I'll throw it to
congratulations.
Appreciate that, man. So. That's right, man. I don't have any fun stories like a Curtis or Gary too much, but again, we'll get to that, man. We have a lot of things to discuss, a lot of sports, and gentlemen, I'm just happy that Antonio Brown's gonna still play, man. That's you know, awesome, man. You know, I kind of was scared, but good news, he's gonna play, man. So again,
well, the season's not here yet, so we'll see.
Right. That was fun on August the 13th here, but let's kick it off, man. JQ, again, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Oh man, I've recuperated some. I'm a little tired. I pulled double duty today with the regular gig and working the Stripers game, but I'm ready to talk some sports with my fellas. What's going on with y'all?
JQ is making that money. That's right, man. Good job. That's what it's all about. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Man, feel a lot lighter. You know, I'm just gonna give y'all a bit of advice and all y'all listeners out there. Stay free of a 7-day cleanse.
Me?
Wow.
You will be running.
I don't even know how to come off of that. Man, well, I don't.
Wow.
There's a lot of other ways to stay cleansed, Brett. Anyway,
but I feel a lot lighter.
I bet you do.
Well, let's hope that for the sake of the show that Rob will be okay, that he will last through the show for sure, man. But again, I'm changing my diet for the cleanse. I'm good, man. But again, Curtis and Gary, we'll check in with you guys right off the gate, man. We got a lot of things to discuss right off the gate with your boy Dak. But again, let's show some love here to the fellas and everyone that wants to call on this show. Reach out to your boys. We're talking Sports with 12, man. First and foremost, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMEN Sports. We are on Facebook as well, facebook.com/12thmansports. We're talking sports with the 12th man. And last but not least, always call into your boys. Reach us to the same number every week. It's the 424-243-9519. Nosh, shout out to you, Nosh, again, if you call in and add some amazing content as well, too. So let's kick it off right out the gate with a little NFL talk here. And do the Eagles have an advantage over the Cowboys due to Wentz being signed and Dak is not. So again, we're throwing a bone to the West Coasters, to Curtis and Gary. So you guys will get to open the show with your thoughts on that particular statement. So go ahead, gentlemen. What do you have to say to that?
Well, number one, it's a long ways to go before the start of the season. And no, I don't. I don't. I think that the big one to sign really is the running back. You know, Zeke is should be the first priority. But they can always franchise tag him, whatever. But I think they'll be fine. You know, Jared Jones is one of those owners that he's loyal to his team, so they'll be just fine. Curtis, what's your thoughts on that?
Our quarterback, the one thing he is, he's a leader and he's focused, and he already told the Cowboys that he's not worried about, he'll take his turn when his turn comes up. So he's locked in, he's focused, he believes that his money is going to take care of itself. The problem is Ezekiel Elliott poisoning the well for the Cowboys and having a big distraction. And I don't agree with Gary that he's the first one that should be signed, but I agree with Gary that the Cowboys have to get this done and get him happy and focused before this season starts, or this thing can mess everything up. But for our quarterback's a grown-up, and our quarterback's a leader, and our quarterback's a man, and he's not worried about when it comes to his time, he's going to get his.
And I would agree with that to a degree, Curtis. The only thing that worries me is, you know, you've got all three of them to sign. But what Curtis and I were talking about just before we got on the air is what if Zeke, you know, does like what Emmitt Smith did back in the 90s, where he held out a couple of games. This team is not that team of the 90s.
Oh.
You know, okay, they're just not. They can't afford for him to miss a couple of games and go in the hole a couple of games like they did and then make a run and win the Super Bowl. You know, they're not that team. They got to grind it out every game to even, you know, to win the division and then see what happens. So they're not that dominant team of the 90s. We'd like to think we have a new big three, but, you know, they haven't shown us that yet. We'll see if they can, you know, just stay focused, and we'll see what happens. Rob, what do you got? I know you got something to say.
Well, you know, I think there's something to be said. I mean, when we look at comparing the Eagles situation with Wentz locked up and the Cowboys situation, where we have three players right now that's looking for new contracts. And I think, you know, right now, you know, you're not hearing much from the Eagles, so things are all quiet. So I think there is a little bit of an advantage for the Eagles right now because they're able to focus on football right now. They're able to focus on building that chemistry. I mean, they are a team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I do believe that talent-wise, the Cowboys are there with Zeke Elliott because their defense will be phenomenal. They'll have a running game. They have a quarterback and a weapon on the perimeter. But I would have to give you the slight edge right now because it's quiet. There's no outside noise. They're focused on building their team chemistry. And if Carson Wentz is healthy, they still have a lot of weapons as well. Offensive line, solid defense. I would give, at the moment, I'm not saying this is, you know, I could easily change this by the time, you know, the season starts if the Cowboys able to get Zeke and he's healthy and he's ready to go and in shape. But at the moment, I think there's a lot to be said for right now. The Eagles are able to totally focus on football and build that team chemistry right now. So I would have to give them a slight edge right now going into the season.
Bang.
Yeah, and to me, the elephant in this whole conversation, I mean, elephant is a proper word because it's now turned into a circus with Dallas has happening. And I know we have another topic discussing Dak's demands, but my word, this dude has turned down a $30 million a year deal. Talking, he wants to be paid like Russell Wilson's $35 million.
Oh,
Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl champion, and he should have been a two-time Super Bowl champion. And it boggles my mind to hear him say that and negotiate that in the press. To say, yeah, I'm going to turn down 30 because that should be. They said the $40 million a year was bogus, but it's more like 35. But 35, bro, you ain't did nothing yet. I mean, I understand that everybody feels like when you come back up, you want to reset the quarterback market. But if you're really talking about he's this leader and he's this man, right? We talk about Tom Brady taking less to make sure that his team is good enough to win Super Bowls with. That's what I would be looking for Dak for. I'm like, you know what? I could probably hold out for this, and maybe some people will be in my camp and in my court. But there are people like me who, I don't hate the Cowboys. I don't love the Cowboys. I'm indifferent about them. When I read that article, I was just like, wow, I can't believe he had the audacity to say that he should be paid like Russell Wilson. That to me, is crazy. And what does that do to the locker room? You talk about Zeke. I bet you there's some guys in there that's like, whoa, Dak, man, I love you. But come on, bro. Russell Wilson's won the Super Bowl. You're talking about $35 million and come up putting yourself in that category already. Like, I believe if you gave some of them dudes truth serum, they would say, Dak, you are tripping crazy. How are we supposed to keep this together as a team? And this is what you're talking about. So I think he's.
Yeah,
I think
what are they smoking in that locker room? Is what I want to know.
Yeah,
still smoking.
Yeah,
back
I that.
Leon
what are they smoking?
Yeah, that to me is the biggest piece of it. You haven't really heard a lot from Amari. And really, here recently, you haven't heard a whole lot from around Zeke, but you've been about Dak and what his demands are. And that, to me, is something that could swim in the locker room because I would be looking like, I want you to get paid, too, because I want to get paid. But if you're making 35 to 40, then we can't get paid together on the same team. So I guess I just got to get myself together to kick you in the forehead next year after two when I have to leave the Cowboys because ain't no money to re-sign me. I could see guys in the locker room feeling like that.
Yeah. And don't get it twisted. Quarterbacks in the NFL today are going to get paid. That's just the bottom line. That's just the way the market is set for quarterbacks in the NFL. But, I mean, JQ hit it on the nose there. I mean, to be paid like Russell Wilson, he should be somewhere between at least three to five million a year less than Russell Wilson is making. At least he should be in that ball. Like I said, don't get it twisted. You're starting quarterback in the NFL. It's just the market. You're going to get paid. I mean, you can argue whether or not the guy's worth $25 or $30 million a year. If he's a starter, he's just going to make the money. They're just going to make the money. That's just the way the market is set. But he should be a notch or two below Russell Wilson. There's no question about it.
Well, I think the problem I think the problem is what Wentz got, okay, because what he's comparing – I think he's looking at Wentz and what he can say and what his agent is saying, look, this quarterback over here for the Cowboys has won the division two out of the 3 years. And unlike Wentz, he stays healthy. You're not worried about Zach Prescott being sidelined like there is a concern about that boy in Philadelphia making it through a season. And I think that is the sticking point with the agent and everybody around Vebo. This guy getting that money, he hasn't won the division two out of the 3 years, and he hasn't even been able to stay healthy for a whole season. And look what he's getting.
But there's a flip side to that. You should also be looking at it from the Dallas standpoint. They should be laughing at Philadelphia for the reasons you just said and say, guess what? We ain't going to do that. And Dak said, you know what? I want to get paid, but I'm not going to hamstring my team because good luck with them when everybody else they have comes up getting them paid because they just paid Carson Wentz. So there's a flip side to that argument of you should be chopping at the bit. Go on and spend that money stupidly. We ain't. We on the same page. I know I need to get paid. And don't get me wrong, he's going to get paid. But I got to get paid in a certain range so that I can keep my players around me so we can still be a good team and be able to continue to win this division. That piece of the argument, I think, is what gets left out of that. I mean, everybody wants to have a measuring contest, but it's like at the same time, you keep talking about who's the GOAT, and it's Tom Brady, and you look at what he's been earning, and the good things will come to you if you win games. Even if you take a little less money up front, you can get that money back as the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys if y'all win a Super Bowl, or God forbid you win two. You're going to make that money back. I mean, look who was in line when Cam Newton got in trouble for talking crazy to that female reporter and lost that yoga deal. Guess who got it? Dak Prescott. I'm just saying, you're going to have the ability to get your money in different ways, but you still want to be able to win games. That's what would be my philosophy.
There it is. There it is. Good call, gentlemen. I'm just happy that, again, there's a lot of infighting on both sides for the Cowboys. And, again, we're not talking a lot of junk with you guys, so it's just crazy because, again, I just, like we talked about last week, the timing was bad on this too because, again, you know, you should be definitely trying to figure out a way to, you know, build some team chemistry. And right now you got all these contract squabbles and stuff like that too because, again, you just came off of a pretty good season. You definitely need Ezekiel Elliott to do his thing. You know, again, I don't think we know that we're talking about Dak is not worth $30 million, but, you know, all you can do is ask for it. Hey, this is what I want. Bruh, here's 15 and call it a day, bro. You know, whatever, you know. But, again, you know, he's
going
to ask and see what he can get too. But I'm just going to ask, you know, basically, you know you ain't getting no $30 million, bro. Come on. But anyway, all you can do is ask, man. Maybe being influenced by his agent. But, again, we'll see what happens, man. It's not looking good for the Cowboys because, again, you're kind of hoping that – again, like you talked about, this is not the time for them to kind of have all these challenges, if you will. But they are definitely more talented, I agree, than the Eagles. All right, let's talk about Antonio Brown here and his behavior. And I guess the question is, this is almost a rhetorical thing, is his behavior damaging to his team, man? And, I mean, you're hearing both sides that he's, you know, hard worker and like that. But then you hear this other side. So, again, I know. What say you about this, JQ? We'll kick it to West Coast in a quick second, too. But go ahead.
And that was my thing about picking Pittsburgh. And Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger just sitting in the back. And Western Pennsylvania said, yep, good luck with that headache for the rest of that contract. That's the reason why we were, you know, third or fifth round pick, whatever it was. Yeah, so taking. Because I'd rather get a third or fifth round guy who has that ability to come in and work hard like he once did, but can keep his nose clean and keep his head, you know, above the fray. What he has happening over a helmet is just so outlandish that, I mean, they're trying to make it safer. And y'all talking about how you want it to be safer, you want less games, you want better equipment, and they're trying to do that. And you're going to threaten to retire over that? Like, he's doing himself no favor in the court of public opinion. It's silly. And I think somebody maybe finally got to him and said, bro, you are doing so much damage to your reputation that was already in need of repair, and now you've made it even worse. Like, come on, man. His talent is undeniable, and I would never say that.
Change is hard, JQ. Change is hard, bro. I'm used to that. I'm used to that helmet, but change is hard, bro. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Come on, though, man. You can't act up like that over a helmet, though. Over a helmet?
Yeah. Good. Go
ahead, Rob. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This is. I just think Antonio Brown just likes attention, and JQ said it best here. The Steelers right now got to be sitting back like, wow. The Oakland Raiders right now is a complete mess. Antonio Brown is a complete mess. And this is it's just mind-boggling of the entire situation. I mean, Tom Brady knew about this. Aaron Rodgers knew about this. Several other NFL players knew about this. And they're not making big deals the way Antonio Brown is making a big deal out of this. And outstanding talent. We all know that. We know the kind of numbers he's capable of putting up, and he has put up. But the headache, the off-the-field incidents, this has got to be a big concern to John Gruden and the Raiders organization. And like I said, the Steelers is all quiet, and they're moving forward. And you have to think that they could possibly compete, you know, still with the Browns and the Ravens for that AL North division title.
Yeah, and other people from West Coast, where you go, he just burnt his feet doing cryotherapy. Like, what are you doing? So on the heels of having frostbite on your feet to where you can't even practice with your new team, then you do this on top of it? So outlandish.
Crazy.
Do flaky people, you know, in your personal lives, in all of our personal lives, for me, flaky people break my heart. They really do. When you're dealing with a flake, it's horrible. But in Raiders camp and on HBO, this might be great entertainment. This might have viewership going. But I'm beginning to think personally that this guy's a flake. And all my dealings with a flake, I've always walked out with a broken heart. Every single time.
Yep.
Don't break Curtis's heart. Do not do it. Do not do it. Go ahead. What you got
do not
for that?
Break his heart.
His achy breaky heart.
What you got of that, Jerry? What you got? You got anything to add to that as well, or what?
No, I mean, you know, the guy's, I don't know what his issues are, but he's got some issues where he just, like I said, he wants attention. He's an attention whore, so he's getting it now, and you know, we'll see where see if he can just break away from himself and actually have a decent season. I don't think he's going. I think he'll have a decent season, but I think the Raiders are a complete mess, and Gruden's not the answer.
And the problem with that too is, I mean, this is a make it break it year for Carr. And
yeah,
if this guy can play and he's a man, Carr's going to look good. Carr's not going to be questioned. But if this thing blows up, he's going to take Carr down too. And Carr may not be a Raider after this mess.
Oh, man. Yeah, and so speaking of that, so I guess we're saying, how does John Gruden look in the saga? Because I know JQ had mentioned it that the Steelers are probably kicking back like, woohoo! Sorry, we're not we're so happy that we're not in the middle of that, man. So, yeah, good, Curtis.
Well, I mean, they're not in, you know, they're in the division. Their division is the Broncos, Pat Mahomes and them Kansas City Chiefs, and Phillip Rivers and those Chargers. Now, what I think is going to happen to the Raiders is they're going to be the last team in that division, and that's going to be devastating for what things look like on paper for the Raiders. They cannot afford to be the last team in that division. But I'm looking at that division, and the Raiders are heading for last team in that division.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah,
say
it ain't with the Broncos.
Yeah. It's going to be a bum fight at the bottom. Well, I think what it does is, I think we all know what it is. I think we all know what it does, because there's no player that John Gruden, with a 10-year, $100 million deal, didn't have say-so in and didn't sign off on and say, yep, I want that guy. And so when he comes in with the problems with his feet, unable to practice, you talk about him and Carr need to get out there together and develop that chemistry for both of their careers at this point. And then you do this with the helmet. It makes John Gruden look like, man, you look like you were desperate. You were willing to take on any headache to draw some attention and viewership to move to Vegas and the Hard Knocks. And, you know, you just don't have a handle in your locker room. It's like, you know, he cut old boy in the Hard Knocks, said he wasn't practicing hard enough, but then you have Antonio Brown doing this, and he's coming out in public support of Antonio Brown because he knows he has to have him to be successful. So then you have that situation in the locker room where what's good for the goose is not good for the gander, and players look at that like, well, he's just letting this dude run a complete amok out here, and that's all we're talking about is him instead of talking about us. It makes John Gruden look very, very bad. I don't know if he has had a conversation with Antonio Brown, like, okay, this stops. You're tripping, and nobody's going to be, you know, I might get yelled at and feel stupid for trading for you, but if I put my foot down and I say, you know what, this ain't going to matter, I might get some applause from some coaches saying, you know what, somebody finally took a hard stance with Antonio Brown. The only person that can lose in this worse than John Gruden is Antonio Brown. So they better get it together and get on the phone and figure something out, because they both look bad.
He's Antonio Brown, but he's not some rookie. But, you know, anyway, he's definitely more talented. But go ahead, Rob. What we say on that, too?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I think we pretty much covered this, you know, pretty well. That obviously, I think, you know, even though John Gruden is supporting him, I think he has to feel some type of way, you know, for, you know, the kind of headache that his car is in the organization right now.
Oh, boy.
I think the Raiders at this point would be better off moving on without him, with a young organization, with a young team, and seeing what they can do without the headache. They drafted a lot of young players in this draft, and I think if the Raiders were smart, hindsight is 20/20. I mean, so it's easy to go back and second-guess the move, but right now they're stuck with them, and they got to make the best of it. But I think John Gruden right now, from a moving forward or building a culture there in the Raiders organization, they will be better off without Antonio Brown right now as far as setting a culture for how that organization to move going forward.
So unbelievable, man. That dude, man. All right, let's keep this going here. Wow, we've definitely talked a lot about this. Let's talk about the next thing. Let's talk about Daniel Jones, man. What do you think about him as far as, you know, what's happening in the preseason and how you think he's been doing, Rob? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, obviously, what a difference for the New York fan base, right? I mean, they booed the guy on draft night. I mean, obviously, I wasn't a big fan of the Giants taking him where they took him, as well as most of America wasn't a big fan of where he took him. And like I said, the Giants fans booed him when he got drafted. But now they want the guy to start from day one now. It's amazing. You listen to New York Sports Talk Radio right now, and the fans want him starting from day one now after one preseason game. Obviously, had 5 passes and 1 touchdown. Later, and like I said, you know, the fans, you know, finding themselves, you know, on board with them already. I thought it was a solid performance. You know, he showed a lot of poise in the pocket. He showed some accuracy in the pocket. He showed that the game wasn't too big for him. Now, like I said, I mean, it's a preseason game. You know, no one's going to be fooled by a preseason game. And so, I mean, obviously, I still want to see more. But I did think that this was the first, you know, a very good start for Daniel Jones. And I will say this. Last year, when you go back to Sam Darnold's first preseason game with the Jets, you know, there was a lot of question marks on with the Giants. Do you take Barkley or do you take Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold wasn't as impressive in his first preseason game as I thought Daniel Jones was the other night when you go back and compare the films from last year to this year. So that's one bright spot. But like I said, you still want to see more. It is one preseason game. And you know, the preseasons, you know, the preseason fools a lot of people. I still want to see more. But he did what he was supposed to do in that game, and that's definitely a great start for Daniel Jones. And it looks like he showed a lot of thick skin, you know, having to deal with the New York media all the way from the draft, all the way up until that preseason game the other night. So that showed me something as well. But like I said, I still want to see more.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, right? You talk about the preseason fooling people. I believe the Detroit Lions went 4-0 in the preseason the same year they went 0-16. So, you know, you got to take everything a little bit with a grain of salt when you see it in the preseason. I mean, it's just the truth. And also, you look at, like, the New York Knicks and the Giants. A lot of times, the person that they want ends up being the person that they don't need to have. And when they don't get the person they want, that person a lot of times ends up being a bum. And they get stuck with somebody, and their mind stuck with them, and he ends up being okay. So it's funny that that's how, you know, with New York, is always an overreaction. But I will give Daniel Jones a ton of credit. He had to hear and go through a lot of criticism for somebody that got drafted that high. And I think the biggest thing for people is the value piece of it. Like, you could have still got him. He still could have shined this way, but you could have got him in the second round and got somebody else in that spot. But a lot of NFL evaluators will tell you that if there's one position that you overreach, that you can reach for, if you're sold on that guy, it's that quarterback. But somebody's going to take him, and they're smoke screening you. You should go get your guy, and you get a chance to get him. So the Giants did it. We killed them for it. And through one preseason game, he's making Gettleman look like a genius. But again, it's the preseason. And underrated in this here is that it turns the table now. It puts a lot of pressure on Dwayne Haskins because they wanted Dwayne Haskins bad, hot and trot. I love Dwayne Haskins. But if Daniel Jones comes out there and does that in the preseason and Haskins doesn't look as great, now people questioning Haskins and what the Redskins did in getting him. So, you know, it was like, kind of, you know, return to serve. Like, okay, it's on you there, Dwayne. You know, you got on TV and meme mug to say how you shoot up ahead of me. I've had a good start. You need to have a good start. So, and they're playing in the same division, so it's a very interesting dynamic between the two of them. I think they'll be linked forever, like Luka Doncic and Trae Young. You're going to always have that kind of piece. But the other piece of it, though, is these two guys are going to play each other twice a year. And if you're those fan bases, you want them to be playing each other twice a year for the next decade. So you have all that interest in theater around the quarterback position against those two teams, you know, who we think are the third and fourth best teams in the NFC East. So the NFL getting what they want. Just a lot of good, you know, additional theater that, you know, you just really can't buy.
Well, it was a good start, but it's not just a preseason game. You know, it's the first preseason game. So if he were, if he progresses and he gets to that, you know, that final preseason game where you've got, you know, all your starters in and you've got some people that are in that mix that's really pushing to get that, you know, one of those final roster spots, then we'll see how he does. Right now it looks like it was a good move. He was booed. Now he's cheered, but we'll see how it plays out. But I do think it was a good start, but like I said, just the first of the preseason games.
I think Daniel Jones is a symptom of what is the big elephant in the room for the New York Giants. And I kind of understand, if you are a New York Giants fan, why you can't get past Eli Manning. Because Eli Manning is the guy that beat the Patriots twice. Eli Manning is the guy that beat the Patriots when they were working on an undefeated season. But that fan base in New York, it's going to take a stick of dynamite or something before these guys give up on Eli Manning. And it is a thing that this organization probably needs to do. They need to get somebody, and they need to get beyond Eli Manning.
Well, I mean, I think I was going to make a joke that this was the Giants' plan all along, was to kind of like hold serve and then draft their quarterback next year. But, again, I do think they were probably pleasantly surprised because, again, you can't be like, oh, you know, we knew this was going to happen, because it takes some really big brass cojones, man, to kind of go in there with everything that's happening too. So I guess the best-case scenario is for Eli to kind of play his way out. And then, obviously, you know, the way that Daniel Jones has looked in the first preseason game, at least you do see there is promise, as opposed to, again, this dude looks like a complete bust or like a challenge, unfortunately, like some of the quarterbacks that have played with them as well too. So, again, give them a little credit at a little point, because, again, you know, we always like to bash them, but in this instance, maybe they have figured out something that we have not. So it is early. That's what we're going to definitely throw out. So first season game, it's early. But at least we know that he actually does look like he's competent, to say the least. You have the Eli look on his face, man. So that's kind of crazy. But anyway,
yeah.
Let's keep this going, gentlemen.
And the thing we could talk about as well is Eli Manning looked horrible in that game.
Yeah.
It was like night and day between the two quarterbacks. I mean, Eli Manning looked pitiful. Man, that was dreadful.
Crazy.
Gentlemen, can I switch gears here for just a second? I want to talk about something that's Northwest Sports, and I want our listeners to hear this, okay? Curtis and I have been talking about it today. I want to talk about the Portland Thorns, our women's soccer league team here. They're completely holding up the women's soccer league team here in Portland, across the league, though. They're averaging almost 20,000 in attendance. And the next team, Utah Royals FC, they're at barely 10,000. This last weekend, they set an attendance record for women's soccer of 25,218 people and averaging 19,955, almost twice as many as any other team in women's soccer. And, you know, Curtis and I are up here in the Northwest, and, you know, we're seeing this all over the news and the success that this team has had. And to pull up their attendance and see how much.
What is number nine? Tell them what number nine is averaging.
Number nine in that is averaging 3,500 people in attendance.
A year. Wow. Each game.
So what you guys are saying is there's nothing to do in Portland?
No, what we're saying is, here's what we're saying, Rob. Thank you for bringing that up. You guys, at one point, were talking about, is Portland a town that's, you know, approaching, you know, what's it, it's 2.4 million people. Can we support a Major League Baseball team? Well, with the Blazers, they've sold out almost every game for the last 30 years. You know, your Portland Timbers are, you know, one of the top teams in attendance, and they sell out every single game. The Thorns sell out every single game. And if we get a Major League Baseball team up here, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going to be selling out every single game. That's Rip City. Thank you very much, folks. Moving on to the next
time. Oh, that was just a joke. I actually love Portland. I spent some time up there with Gary, so I had a great time. I was just being with
the
man.
Some people think the Yankees is holding up baseball because when the Yankees come to town, your stadium's fills up, and I'm getting depression in this women's, and that situation came up on Real Sports on HBO when I heard Ice Cube's business guy saying that the big three in their third year, he says they're outdrawing women's basketball, they're outdrawing they're even outdrawing some of the basketball in the NBA, according to this guy on Real Sports. And he was asked, are they going to be able to outdraw hockey? And he said he didn't want himself to get in trouble, but he believes they're eyeballing hockey. And I'm looking at this in this women's soccer, and I knew that across the country, people are only doing 4,000 and 5,000 in the crowds around the country. But here in Portland, our women are doing over 20,000 every game. So my question is the Portland team holding up this women's soccer league? And are the people in Portland and the tickets sold in Portland able to sustain a league, a women's soccer league in this country?
Wow. Well, again, I think I'm not going to get distracted here. I think that's awesome, man, about Portland, man. A lot of love for you guys, man, for sure, man. That's again, we always talk about how Portland is a great city, man. You know, obviously my cousin's there too, man. So we're a fan of everything, and it's good to show that they're starving for it, man. So it's good. All right, hey, before we get too carried away and before I lose my focus here, I want to definitely talk about our next topic here. We're gonna talk about some breakout players that you guys see for coming up season for the NFL and the most exciting team to be watching for this season here. And I got a couple of guys that I'm thinking of, a couple teams I know, not just because, you know, I got it for the Cardinals up there as well too. But again, tell us you guys your thoughts on the most exciting team to watch the NFL this season, if you will. So go ahead. We've got about 21 minutes or so left in the show. So go ahead, Rob, and I'll let you kind of lead this off, and we'll kick it to the West Coast and Jake could wrap it up too. So go ahead.
Well, obviously, you know, I got to start with my beloved Saints. That's going to be the most exciting team. Obviously, this season. But if I have to pick a team outside of my beloved Saints, so if I have to pick a team outside of my beloved Saints, I think it will be the Cleveland Browns. And it's just, to me, it's just going to be intriguing watching them to see what, you know, transpires with that team this year with Baker Mayfield, all the different personalities on that team, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Antonio Galloway is another wide receiver with some big-time speed that could be a deep threat. They have weapons.
He's an idiot, though.
David Njoku at tight end.
Stop getting that trouble.
Miles Garrett and how they're going to perform on the defensive end. And I think I sent you guys a text last week. I mean, we talk about rookies in their preseason, but even Greedy Williams looked great. You know, a guy that fell to the second round because teams were concerned about his physicality and tackling ability. But you can't question his cover ability. And he actually came up and made some big-time tackles in that game, too, at the line of scrimmage. We look at their defense. They could possibly have two really good cornerbacks on that football team. And then you go with Myles Garrett and then the offensive weapons. So outside of my beloved Saints, I would have to go with the Cleveland Browns as a very intriguing team and an exciting team to watch. That will be appointment television for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it's close. I think you people, you know, because this is why I say that. I mean, I know we give Rob a lot of hard time, but the Saints are going to be entertaining because they have a good offense and they have Drew Brees. And you look at it, you want to talk about Kansas City, but I think people already know what Kansas City brings to the table because, I mean, hell, their quarterback won MVP, 50 touchdowns last year. So I think you still want to watch them play, but it's like, okay. Yeah, but it's almost like, you know what I'm saying, you're expecting that kind of level of excellence. With the Cleveland Browns, we think they could have that kind of level of excellence, but we also look at them and say, you know what, they're still the Cleveland Browns, and they're going to find a way to destroy their chemistry and do something stupid and not be able to capitalize on it. And I think that's the reason why they make them the most exciting team, because they have such a high ceiling, but we're so used to them having this curse and this black cowl hanging over their head that you expect the bad things to happen to them because they're the Cleveland Browns. That, to me, is why they're the most exciting team to watch this year.
Okay. Yeah. West Coast,
well,
what you got?
I would definitely agree with the Cleveland Browns, but I'm going to be watching, you know, these wide receivers and this quarterback and give me the ball. No, I want the ball. No, you know, this is the arguing and the infighting and the imploding Cleveland Browns. I think it's going to be great to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you guys know the first thing. You know the first thing that I'm going to do, and if you guys don't know, I'm going to tell you. The first thing I'm going to do on September 8th, I'm going to text this girl named Melissa, and I'm going to say, "We get the standing bet is on. The New England Patriots are not going to get in the Super Bowl a fifth. That's the standing bet." And she's going to get that text. The standing bet is on week one. But what I'm looking at.
I think you just be looking for a reason to text Melissa Curtis.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of females that are football fans. God, I am a big fan of females that are football fans. I am. She's a diehard football fan. My question is this year. Is Jameis Winston a bust? Is Murray Oda a bust?
Ooh.
Is Derek Carr a bust? There are four or five quarterbacks. What is this Trubisky going to turn into? Is that boy in San Francisco, Garoppolo, he's one injury away from being injury prone his whole career. There are some quarterbacks in this league that I have some real serious questions about. I got questions about that boy in Miami that they moved out of Arizona and put in Miami. Is he going to live up to what people thought he was going to turn into? There are some quarterbacks in this league. And Jameis Winston and Mariota, I got questions. I got big-time questions with them, too. And I got big-time questions if they're really the deal. And Carson Wentz, can he get through another season?
He can get through an 8-game season, Curtis.
You know, we haven't seen it yet. So, I mean, in this football season, there is some people.
You got to stop that, didn't
you? Yeah, this football season, I got some questions. And I got some questions on who's the real deal and who's not. And I'm going to say, coming out of college, for me, with Jameis Winston, when he was in college, I thought he was the most ready guy that I've seen come out of college in a long time. And I hate to be wrong, but this year is going to kind of tell me if I'm wrong. And there's a good possibility I was wrong.
Those are all very intriguing questions. And I think the answer to those questions are going to be this season. I think this year will be the true telling if Jameis Winston is a bust or not. This year will be the true telling if Derek Carr is a bust or not. But keep in mind, Winston was the number one pick in the draft. Derek Carr was a second-round pick. So if Winston doesn't pan out, it would be an even bigger bust. But Derek Carr did show promise a few years ago, and he's kind of tailed off since then. But I think this year the proof will be in the pudding on whether or not those players will be busting on. This is a make-or-break year for Winston. This is a make-or-break year for Derek Carr. I'm not sure if it's a make-or-break year for Garoppolo, because if he's healthy, it'll be his first full season as a starting quarterback. So I'm not sure if it's a make-or-break season for him, but definitely Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, these are make-or-break seasons for those two guys. And the guy in Miami, I'm not sure if it's a make-or-break season for him just yet either. Yeah, Josh Rosen. Because obviously this would be his second year starting in the league. And so I'm not so sure it's a make-or-break season for him just yet. And he may not even be starting this year. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I told you about
that.
Definitely for Winston and Derek Carr.
And Mariota.
What about Mariota?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, Mariota. Make or break for him as well. Yes. I agree with that. Definitely make or break season for him.
I'm happy that, I love the tangent. I love the fact that, Curtis talks about texting some lady, man, makes it even better, man. So, again, we're going to have a Curtis corner, man.
Yeah,
but
he's talked about her like 10 times. Like, y'all ain't talking about the fact that they must know him by first name basis at the liquor store. He didn't have to buy her $10 of liquor.
Well, she's a Raiders fan, and she got the boyfriend that – I mean, she's a Brady Patriot fan, and she's got a boyfriend – that's a Raiders fan. And one of the things that they do every year, they've been doing in the last 5 years, they do that Mexico City game, that NFL game they have in Mexico City. They've done that every year for the last 5 years. Do that trip to Mexico City and see an NFL football game.
Okay. All right. Let's keep us. Well, we got about 11 minutes here as we're getting ready to wrap up another exciting, another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And so there's always a lot of topics we hope to get in here, but I'd like to talk about some five potential pickout players in the NFL this season, and then I want to talk about some baseball here too before we wrap this up too. So go ahead, Rob, and get your five players, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna be totally honest with you guys. I had a hard time narrowing it down to five, so I went a little.
Oh my gosh.
So I'll just try to get through this.
Not you.
I'll try to get this through it as quickly as possible. Number one, I'm going to start with my beloved Saints and Marcus Davenport, defensive end that took in the first round in the 2018 draft. We'll be going into the second season. But prior to getting hurt last season, he was showing some great explosion and stopping the run and the pass. And I expect him to be even somewhere around the double-digit sacks this year in the breakout season at defensive end on the other side of Cameron Jordan. So he'll be one guy. Another guy going into his third season, he's shown some explosion. He's shown some promise, especially as a rookie prior to his ACL injury, Delvin Cook with Minnesota Vikings. last year, coming off that ACL and you know, didn't quite see it just yet. And the offensive line has some issues with the Vikings. I expect him to have a breakout year this year. The offensive line is that we think is going to be better for the Vikings this coming season. And another year removed from that ACL injury as well. So I expect him to come back and have a bounce back season here this coming season as well. Another unheralded player, Deshaun Hand, defensive end, defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions. The guy was picked in the fourth round in the 2018 draft. He's shown the ability to push the pocket on passing downs up the middle, as well as stop the run. He can play the inside and the outside. Look for him to have a breakout season this year week. This season. Minka Fitzpatrick, Miami Dolphins, free safety. Another first-round pick in 2018 going into his second year. You saw him play really well in spots. You know, he had a pick six last season in the ball game last year. And he's very versatile on the defensive end. He can move around and play both safety spots. He can even move to play the nickel and in a pinch playing corner on the outside. So very versatile player. The Dolphins look to do a lot with him with Brian Flores at the head coach right now. And Pete Carroll, he's done it again. He found one of these middle-round safety slash cornerbacks to play in the defensive end, Trey Flowers, 6'3", 200 pounds. Guy played safety in college. Pete Carroll moves in the corner, and he looks like he can be an elite cornerback. These are the kind of guys that he loves to play at the corner position. Look for him to have a breakout season as well, take a major step forward as a cover player on that Seattle defense. Kerryon Johnson, running back Detroit. Right before his injury last year, you could see that he was starting to go to another level. Had a big ball game. We had 158 yards rushing. Starting to burst onto the scene. It was a second-round pick. I thought he was a steal in the 2018 draft. And you started to see it right around week 9, week 10, week 11, right before he got hurt last season. So he's another guy that you watch. Jaire Alexander, cornerback from Green Bay. Anybody that saw that Packer-Rams game last year, he was all over the field and kept that Packers defense in that game with the Rams with all those top-notch receivers. So he's another guy that looks like he can have all-pro potential. And, you know, he's another guy going into his second season. So look for Harold Landry, defensive end, outside linebacker, Tennessee. You know, obviously Brian Orakpo and Derek Morgan are no longer there with the Titans. Look for him to be a dominant pass rusher for this team. He started also so flashes as well. He had 4.5 sacks in the last two games of the season. So look for him to have a breakout season this year as well. And I'm going to go out on a limb with a couple of quarterbacks here. Sam Darnold, I think he's a guy that's going to have a breakout season this year too as well. And also Josh Allen, quarterback from Buffalo. I think another guy that's going to have a breakout season. I don't think Josh Allen's team is going to be that well, but I think his performance will be twice as – I mean, his performance will be 10 times better than what it was this past season. So look for him to take a step up. Look for Sam Darnold to take a step up as well at the quarterback position. And last but not least, Lorenzo Carter with the Giants. Look for him to have a breakout season from a fast rushing standpoint. Olivier Vernon is no longer there as well. So he's a guy I expect as well to push for at least double-digit sack season as well.
Yeah, those are a lot of guys, and I'm going to be a homer. I'm only going to add one to that, and my person is Carl Lawson. Well, he got hurt for the Bengals defensive end. I thought he was a steal coming out of Auburn. He fell a little bit, and he has showed glimpses, but he's also got Geno on the inside. Carlos Dunlap has lost a step. He's got an opportunity to do something for a defense that probably is going to be on the field a lot, because without A.J. Green early in the year especially, he's going to have to make some plays. He showed me flashes, but not quite a complete book quite yet, so. I mean, you put some really good guys out there, but I want to throw him in that mix as well, just from what I've seen him do, actually. And I'm not saying that fully just because I'm a Bengals fan. It's just I've seen him show flashes. Like, okay, he could break out in that defensive end, outside linebacker role, rushing the passer. He just has the ability to do it. Can he put it all together for 16 games?
I want to see, and I can't think of his name. I'm hoping Joe Flacco can help Denver out and have Denver compete in that division they're in with Kansas City and Phillip Rivers, the Chargers. But was it Lamar, the quarterback that's in Baltimore?
Lamar Jackson.
I don't know about breakout year, but I hope what I see is that he learns to be a better NFL quarterback and not a running quarterback. I want to see him turn into an NFL quarterback with the ability to get out of bad situations and slide and get out of bounds and keep
Steve Young.
Sticks moving. He's young, but I didn't see NFL quarterback last year. I'm hoping to see a lot of improvement out of him, and I want to see him look like a lot more like an NFL quarterback.
Well, another one is Tony Pollard, the Cowboys running back that they drafted in the fourth round, I believe, to back up Zeke. They've got nothing but high praise for him, and he's done quite well. He was in some one-on-ones against Van Der Esch, and he just blew right by him. So he's got speed. He's got everything you want in a running back, and so we'll see if he can be a 1-2 punch for the Cowboys. And if Zeke gets, stupid and decides to hold out, maybe he can hold up the running back spot for us.
I like it. Rob, we got about 3 minutes here, so I guess we should get prepared here for the OT portion here, if you will, because I know I love the fact that we can pit a lot of good players, a lot of quarterbacks and running back too. So I guess before we get started, I know we want to talk a little bit briefly about the Braves and the Mets, if you will. And just I'm excited because, again, if you're a Mets fan, if you will, I know that you're kind of thinking, man, they got the pitching. And so for us, it was good for us to definitely kind of handle business and not, take them lightly, if you will, too. But go ahead with this as we get
Max
ready to get the OT portion here, if you will. Yep, yeah, he's looking good, too, so go ahead.
Yeah, once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Obviously, we had a great evening talking a lot of football. We still got some baseball and some basketball to cover in the OT portion. So, unfortunately, we can't give you this OT portion live. So, click on the same link. Click on the same link on tomorrow to get the rest of the show. We have a lot to talk about still. You don't want to miss it. Next week, we're going to be back on the air Tuesday night. It's going to be August 20th. We're going to have predictions for all five of the major five conferences in college football. We'll have that ready for you, and as well as we're going to predict the playoffs for college football and the national champions all on next week's show as well. Ooh. Next couple of weeks, we have a few more NFL divisions we're going to be predicting, as well as the conference champions and the Super Bowl champions as well. So we got a lot to talk about in the next coming week. NBA schedule just came out on Monday. We'll get to that. Pelicans fans, let's get ready to boo Anthony Davis' ass on November 27th. So we get ready for that. So NBA schedule is out. We got a lot to talk about. A great opening night in the NBA. Great Christmas Day schedule. Great MLK Day schedule. So it's going to be a very fun season as well. So we got a lot to talk about here in the next couple of weeks. You don't want to miss it. Tune in next Tuesday night for our next live edition. Thanks for tuning in again. Good night, people.
Yeah, they killed me with MLK. Nothing says MLK Day like wall-to-wall NBA basketball. That has always been hilarious to me. They have just decided they're going to take over MLK Day with NBA basketball. I find that to be quite hilarious. Hey, appreciate everybody for listening to the show. If you don't get a chance to tune in next week, I think you already know who I'm picking for the Big Ten. But we may have some surprises in store for some of the other conferences. So, make sure you tune in or download the podcast and listen to it and give your boys some feedback on Facebook or, on Twitter. Please hit us up, let us know what you think. And we love you. I appreciate all the support. I'll see you next week. Appreciate it.
He's picking Purdue, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Drew Brees is not walking through that door.
Drew Brees is not. Is this Nas checking in?
Yeah, man. What's going on?
Naj, what's going on, bro? You're catching the tail end of the show, man. Hope you had a
I seen it was about to end. It was like a minute left, so I said, let me see if they chop it up on the little overtime thing. But no, just getting in late, bro.
That's always a pleasure to have you, man. We literally were just talking about some of the five breakout players. We're going to talk about what we're setting up the show for next week, too, as far as happening in the Big Ten and all that fun stuff. JQ's going to give us a little sneak peek as far as that, too, man. So we're going to have some fun, too. But we are going to dive into the baseball portion of the show, unless there's anything else you want to talk about. I know we were just talking about the Mets and the Braves, that current series, and I was just commenting on how I'm happy that the Braves were able to kind of get a quick warning shot of that, because the Mets, you know, they kind of counted for dead. They made some moves, and they have excellent pitching. So for us, it was kind of good for us to, again, because our pitching haven't done that well, especially the bullpen. All the guys we traded for hadn't done that much, too. But, I mean, again, I would say do not overlook the Mets, because they are definitely make some moves, and obviously they got Alonso. They got your boy. I forgot his name. I think his name is Nelson or O'Neill. Really good players here, man. So it's good for us to kind of handle business. And yep. That's what I was thinking of. Yep. So again, to answer the next question, shout out to Tad. I DJed his wedding, man. Tad is a huge Mets fan. They can, if they stay focused. It's kind of scary. They actually can, I think, make the playoffs if they can. Continue playing the way they are, you know. So obviously we're going to do our part, but there's definitely an opportunity for them, for sure. What do you think about that, JQ?
I think it's going to be tough. I think they put themselves back in position. They did what teams are supposed to do. They beat up on a lot of bad teams. They beat up on the White Sox. They beat up on the Marlins. They beat up on the Padres. And they got a very favorable stretch in their schedule, and they took advantage of it. And that's what good teams do. But I wonder if they have going to have enough offense when they have to start. I think they said that now they play their next 28 games, 25 of those are against teams that are currently in the wild card running or have a .500 record or better. So they play pretty decent against the Nationals. They lost today against the Braves. Their pitch is going to keep them in it, but I just wonder if they've got enough hitting. And I don't trust Diaz, their closer. He just has been a dumpster fire. For part of this year. And sometimes closers, when they lose it, man, they lose it 100% and it comes like overnight. So I think they can do enough to stay on the fringes, but they got to think about that NL Central. And I'm not talking about my Reds, but you talk about the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Brewers. One of them is going to win the division. The other two are going to be firmly in the mix for that wild card. So you got to get through them as well. So it's going to be tough. I'm not saying they can't make it, but I don't think they're a shoe-in by any stretch of the imagination.
I hope Curtis and Gary are still staying. Thanks, Dustin. What's going on with this?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the Mets, you know, they're, 61-58 now. Their last 10 games, they've done great. They're 8-2, best in the NL East. But, you know, you got so many teams bunched up. You know, that's a tough one. You know, you got the Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers, everybody's all in there. Diamondbacks, Giants, you know, those are all teams that can, you know, push for that wild card spot. I think they've got a very slim shot, maybe a 20% shot at making a wild card, in my opinion, with the remainder schedule and who else is in, who, you know, the other teams that are also battling for it.
This is the time baseball gets kind of good. We're in the last month, and this is the time when teams are going to make that move. The team I was kind of watching a week ago, I was watching the Philadelphia team and Bryce Harper, and then, what was it, 2 weeks ago, made some moves? Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, let's see what they're going to do. You know, they got that big money man there. And when I was looking at them, they were in third. I didn't look at them this week. But they're, you know, this month, these teams that think they can get a piece, they got to do it this month. I mean, if they don't do it this month, then the season's over for them. So
that's what it,
There, in that East, there's some big-time movement. and let's see who pans out.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, right now, the two wild cards in the National League are the Nationals and the Cardinals. So that's really, you know, could be really interesting. I mean, Nationals and the Cardinals. I mean, they are about 2 games behind the Cardinals for the wild card. So it's really tight. I mean, you got the Nationals, you got the Cardinals right now in the front running position. The Phillies and the Mets are right there. The Brewers and Christian Yelich is right there. And a little bit behind them are the Diamondbacks. I don't think they're a contender. But it's going to be real interesting down the stretch. I mean, they got a legitimate 5 teams there competing for those 2 wild card spots. And as Andre mentioned, the Mets' pitching has been phenomenal. But can they get enough on the offensive end is a question mark. That has been their question mark all season. You know, they do have the Royals coming up after the Braves. That could be a favorable series for them, even though it's on the road. And then they go back home to play a tough Indians team that's on the ascend as well. I know we're getting ready to talk about them. And then they got the Braves again. I mean, then they got the Cubs. So this schedule is going to be then they go on the road to the Phillies. And then they go on the road to the Nationals. So their schedule coming up here is going to be brutal.
The Mets are not going anywhere, man. They bought into that fool's gold, winning a couple of games. Honestly, Chipper's child is named Shea for a reason. And they built basically a 1990s team. So you're dominant pitching, but hitting-wise, they feast on bad pitchers, but other pitchers, you know, they struggle. So they're not going to score enough runs. And when you talk about building a team with dominant pitching in today's era, what does that mean? Let's say you get a quality start. Then you're going to roll them out for the 7th? Probably not. And in that case, you got to go to that bullpen. And at that point, your pitching advantage becomes what? So even just the way they're built right now is wrong. They need to trade a few of those guys and start getting ready to build around Alonso for the future. Because right now, they're in the worst of places. They're the middle of mediocrity and cap the hell out. So they're not going to.
Yeah, the bottom
Sorry,
line.
Go ahead.
I mean, those are all good points. Then when you look at the Mets schedule coming up too, brutal. There's no way they can make the playoffs.
I'm going to say no way because I hear what you're saying in this baseball era, but you can roll out a 1-3.
Go ahead, bro.
No, I'm just going to say, though, but when you work, here's the thing where you have to get them, I don't think it's 20%. I would say it's between 5 and 10. But when you roll into a Friday, Saturday, Sunday set and you get DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Stroman, I mean, you might not score 5 or 6 runs in that series. I mean, that late bullpen, you have a point, and most teams are struggling when it comes to having a solidified bullpen. But when you can roll out those 3 horses and you can turn it over, if you get any offense and you're up 3-1, you give yourself a fighting chance. So I'm not going to count totally out when you have that 1-3. That's a nasty 1-3 coming in.
The flip side of that is when one of those guys has a bad start and it's like, okay, the whole house is caving in, the game is over already. Like if one of them has a bad start, it gets really ugly. But like I said, man, I just don't think you can build a baseball team pitching heavy to that extent anymore. You have to have some bats.
Absolutely. They got some bats. Like I said again, I mean, they're not as scary as you think, but I think they're underrated, man. I'm just saying, with their pitching, they can be in a lot of games. So just don't count them out. That's what I'm saying. But you know, again, so I'm going to be here kind of battling. Yeah, it's all good.
I think that was pretty accurate with a 20% chance.
everyone has their thoughts, man. That's why it's called Sports Talk for sure here. So I know for us, for the East Coasters here, it's definitely like a little past 12 here. So I always like to give you guys an opportunity to like throw in anything you want to talk about. I know we have a couple more topics to discuss. I know we can talk about some more baseball. An interesting topic that we can talk about is about Kareem talking about LeBron has nothing to prove. I don't know if you want to talk about that, JQ, as I get ready to wrap this up, too. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that's Kareem trying to come out for another great player and try to take some of the pressure off of him. But there's nobody that believes that. He absolutely has something to prove. The same way that AD has something to prove. When you make a power move and go somewhere and decide that you're going to leave here to go there and make it your point to go there, then you have a point to prove when you go there, especially when you're a player of his caliber. He's got to find a way to get a championship, or it's gonna be viewed as a failure. So I disagree with Kareem. I know what he was trying to do, but nah, bro, he got to get him a chip.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, you cannot go to the Lakers organization, an organization that expects championships. If he does not deliver a championship, that's going to be deemed a failure for him going to Los Angeles. A player of his caliber will be deemed a failure if he does not deliver a championship for Los Angeles. There's no doubt about him. He's played in organizations. You had Magic, you've had Kobe, you've had Shaq, you've had Kareem, you've had Jerry West, you've had Wilt, you've had Elgin Baylor, you've had James Worthy. If he does not deliver a championship for that organization, it will be deemed a failure in his Los Angeles Lakers tenure.
Like that. Wow. Okay.
Well, kind of par for the course, though. Honestly, all those names you listed, really, really old names, happened a long time ago. This version of the Lakers franchise, after Dr. Buss's passing, has been terrible to incompetent. So if they're able to pull off a championship, it's going to be LeBron and AD, like, going crazy in the playoffs. I think they can do it, at least get one, but this ain't no, you know, this ain't like Golden State where you were putting money down like, yeah, I know they're going to get it. You know what I mean? Everything is up in the air. But, yeah, the most regaled franchise
like 10
in NBA
championship
history.
Contenders in the NBA.
Yeah, they've been running
this
that
year
for the last 10 years.
And I hate the Lakers. I don't want them to win Jack.
hey, man, I've had enough of this bad talking and ridiculousness. They are the part of the gold standard that makes the NBA run. Y'all stop that. You just talked about the women's soccer team holding up in Portland, holding up the whole league. The Lakers and the Celtics help keep the keep it afloat. Y'all put some respect on their names.
Hey, man. Sorry, man. Ancient Greece was once.
Stop all that blasphemy, thank you.
Okay. Now you go to Greece, and it ain't ancient Greece, okay? Things change, man.
Stop.
So they have to uphold that reputation. That's on them.
Stop that. There are teams that have never won a championship or have won.
They may not even win in LA, JQ.
They
may not even win their own city. They may not even win their own building.
I'm not even kidding. If y'all still falling for that bad luck, raggedy franchise on the other side of town, I don't know what to tell y'all. But we see this movie. Why do y'all not expect this movie to go the way it's supposed to go?
Wait a minute, Kawhi Leonard.
Nobody expected Kawhi Leonard to win.
Kawhi,
there it is, Curtis.
Wait a minute, Kawhi Leonard's got a championship in Texas. He's got a championship in Canada. Do not discount the other side of that building with Kawhi Leonard being in there. He got a championship for a whole country.
Hey, you remember the Bronx Tale when they were shooting dice and Mush came down and put his money down with them and they said, oh, just walked away. Oh, that's a loss. Don't worry about it. That's what we're talking about. They are the Mush of the NBA. They are bad luck. Something is going to happen. I don't know why y'all acting surprised. I already put my money down. I expect to pick it up after the season. And
Here's the other thing we're looking at, and I think this is the thing that LeBron's looking at for his legacy. LeBron's got a championship in Miami. He's got a championship in Cleveland, and now he's going to get a championship in L.A.?
Not.
I mean, you know, if I'm LeBron, look at me. I went coast to coast and even in the middle of the country to get some championships out of this NBA. Look at me. I'm LeBron James. I'm King James.
Hey,
part of
LeBron
on the Lakers,
player,
most Lakers fans hated LeBron because they were Kobe lovers.
Right. And think, wait a minute. Before we do the LeBron slander, think about his draft classmate. Carmelo Anthony went for the money at every turn, did not control his career. LeBron put pressure on the franchise, on the front office, to make sure he had what he wanted on the floor. Now look at the results of their career. So we can say whatever we want to say, but player empowerment is not about really beating your chest about things. It's more about, okay, I'm going to have control of my destiny. I am not going to allow myself to be Carmelo Anthony. And that's just what it is, man. We got to think about that.
Yeah.
Carmelo.
Well, I will say this. In my early NBA prediction, it's going to be one of those LA teams against the Sixers in the finals. I think the Sixers win the East. I think one of those LA teams come out of the West.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. Sixers. Ooh.
Wow.
Out of the East. Oh,
wow.
That front line of the Sixers are going to be a beast for teams. Embiid, Horford, Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris. Man.
Oh, no.
Who in the league is going to out-rebound that team?
I like it.
What's that boy from Greece?
The Greek Freak, as we saw in the playoff,
you got
shooting 1,010 3-pointers every night.
So everybody forgets he's going to do that spin move. He's going to get one foot in the lane and do that spin move. He needs that memory stick to make everybody else forget that. But everybody knows.
You're stupid.
And it only gets harder.
Memory stick.
Yeah. He's got to develop a jump shot. You ain't going to be able to get to the paint on the Sixers with all that size.
Get
a jump shot.
Yeah.
One or the other. Yeah. Jump shot or post game, one or the other. And I love him as a player. I would take it.
Me too.
I love what you say. But
the criticism of
it, is valid. Like, that's a huge problem.
And the Kardashians. They can ruin everything.
Man. Wow. You know what's interesting about this is that, we start on the call, we start hating on the Cowboys because of Curtis and Gary. Then we end it with some Saint hate because Rob always talks about a Saint in every conversation. And then we wrap it around with some hate for the Lakers, man. It's just crazy, man. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It's just
never stops.
There's no hate to go around.
Threatening lawsuits because their quarterback is old and has bad ball placement on a controversial call. Are you talking about that franchise? Because I don't know if I can
hold
the same way I used to.
Oh, man.
Here
we go
with
the hate.
I ain't never seen that kind of crying.
Man. Haters going to hate, boy, because they team to make
Falcons
a good championship.
28-3. We took all the beans. We took everything, man. We took it in the chest, man.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't
yeah,
start,
we did. Yeah,
start
we did.
Dreaming up conspiracy theory. We took it in the chest, bro.
Oh, man. Here we go. Here we go.
Nice. Preach that gospel, Dodge. Go ahead.
I'm just saying. What I mean? Hey, Falcons fan, we ain't no excuses. We didn't say, the league wanted the Patriots to win, or they ran the clock quicker. We didn't say it. We took the L, man, like we supposed to. But somehow.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man.
We took the L. I love it.
Rob, I'm really enjoying this.
It's amazing. I put together the show topics every week, and somehow the Cowboys and the Lakers ain't it like every week.
That tells you all you need to know.
Oh my gosh!
Two teams I hate, they somehow be in my topics every single week.
That should talk about you, Rob. I don't know, man. What's up with that, man? That's more like you, man.
Well,
talk about
they're the two teams everybody in the sports world want to talk about.
We got to talk about Elder. That boy said he could have went and got a starting job, but he's sitting back there like a damn vulture waiting on that old man to fall over to take his job. That ain't right.
Who's
talking
about
that,
right? I'm on my podcast.
Who's Nash talking about? Who you talking about?
No, I'm just saying, man. Teddy Bridgewater ain't right, man. That's elder abuse.
Oh, Bridgewater.
He's sitting up there like a vulture waiting on that old man to fall over to take his job from him. That ain't right, man. Leave Drew Brees alone, Teddy Bridgewater. He could be starting somewhere, but he's sitting there like a vulture waiting on that old man. That ain't right, bro.
Where you want him to go, man? Where you want him to go?
I love Nas.
All I'm saying is he saw something in those practices late in the season where he said, I can take this old man's job. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right, before we get ready to get this off, we're gonna wrap this show up, man, because it's like 12:19. Do you have any last? I'm gonna throw it around the country. Yeah, if you can keep it brief, and then let us know your last thoughts, so we can wrap up the show. So go ahead. We'll start with the West Coast, if you will. You guys get the first crack at it.
Well, I'd just like to say it was really nice for Rob to get a little heat in those overrated Saints. I think they're gonna have a little mediocre season. Drew Brees is a phenomenal quarterback.
I don't know if the Saints are going to win that division. I don't know if they're going to win that division. I really don't.
That's great.
But what I'm going to throw out real quickly, the Oregon lottery here in Oregon, they're going to throw out real-time betting. But one of the things that I'm confused about, it's only going to be if you got an IPO, you got to be an Oregon resident. But in the start of the football season, the Oregon lottery, they're going to let us start betting on games on the Vegas line, and they're going to have quarter-by-quarter betting. And even it's going to roll out the beginning of the football season and go into every sport. And we're going to have little places, bars and stuff, where you can do real-time betting through the Oregon Lottery in this state. And I got to do a lot more research to figure out exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it and see if I can take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Wow. Go ahead, Rob. I mean, shoot. You got to be next.
The Saints will win the NFC South yet again for the third straight season. The Saints will win the NFC South with a smart quarterback in Drew Brees, with a balanced offense, with one of the better offensive lines in the game. And once again, the defense will be even better. We've seen the defense get better. Have been better the last couple of years. They will win a division. I will agree that the Falcons' offense can be potent, and I think the Falcons can get in as a wild card. They'll be a close second to the Saints, but the Saints will win the NFC South yet again this upcoming season.
Cam Newton and that Carolina team ain't ready. They're not ready.
We'll see. We'll see how many holding calls the Saints get for having that new rule in the game. We'll see if Marcus Lattimore can hold up now because he's notorious for, you know.
Hey.
So we'll set out.
Hey, man.
He's an Ohio State guy.
Hey, don't you dare say,
we'll
hey, easy.
What'd you say, Rob? No. He's a good player. He's a great player, Jakey. I'm just saying. But, you know, he does hold out. So we'll see how many calls he gets against Julio this year. I'm waiting for the game, bro. It's all good. We'll see.
I ain't got nothing to say because I don't like where the tenor in this conversation is headed. So I'm just going to force it in my life. My last piece of conversation. Y'all can have it. How about that?
All I'm going to say is it's football season. I'm going in heavy. So either I'm going to call you or I'm going to have my assistant call into the show later in the season, or I'm going to call y'all from living in my car because I'm going that heavy. Gambling, the American way. Let's get it, fellas.
All right, don't lose all your money, bro. Don't lose all your money.
I love it.
You will know if I did.
You know, it's funny. It's funny how we go through all types of different, you know, like hate. Because first, you know, I was kind of mad at Gary, but then Gary's again my buddy because he's talking about the Saints. I love that, you know. So then, you know, obviously, I have some propensity for, you know, JQ because, you know, I don't really hate the Lakers as much, but you know, it's kind of interesting, you know. But I love how it kind of goes back and forth too, man. So it's just great, man, to have this. And then Naj coming back to represent the Falcons, man. Just it's a beautiful day, man. So again. Before we get too carried away and before the lady jumps on the call, Naj, you have any that's all you have to say, bro? You have an assistant call in before we wrap this show up, man?
Yeah, that's all, man. If things go well, you'll be hearing from my assistant. If things do not, I will be calling from my car, and that will be live.
I think she's on the call from the car. Just like that.
Should it be a middle
just
ground.
Like that.
I'm needed to be on the like ground.
Oh, man.
Hear from the assistant.
He said he was calling from the assistant. I love it. All right, Rob, wrap the show up, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We got all kind of rivalries on our show here. We got the Blazers hating the Lakers. We got Saints fans and Falcons fans hating each other. We got it all going on. We got the rivalries here on our show here, so you don't want to miss it. Next week, next Tuesday night, we're going to have the predictions for all the five major conferences in college football. That's going to be one of our main topics of discussion on next Tuesday night, as well as we're going to predict the four playoff teams in college football and who the national championship team will be. We also have a few more divisions to predict in the NFL. We'll get that covered, and we'll get our Super Bowl predictions and Super Bowl winners. We have that coming up here in the next couple of weeks as well. For those of you all competing in our fantasy football league, drafts are coming up here in the next few weeks. Pay attention to the calendar. I think our first draft is a week from tonight, I believe, on Tuesday. So we have a draft on next Tuesday, right before our show on next Tuesday night. So definitely stay tuned. We got a lot to talk about. It's going to be a lot of fun going into the football season. Of course, we're going into week two of the preseason, so we'll cover some of that, and especially how some of the rookies are playing as well. So you don't want to miss us live on next Tuesday night, August 20th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Good night, people.
Hey, love y'all. Great show. Appreciate it. I'll let y'all next week.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, y'all. Bye-bye.
Drake?
Over here muted myself, man. I was talking all this stuff. I just decided that Nas has an assistant, man, because that's just fantastic, man. So, again, you guys have a fantastic week. Don't get into too much
you
trouble.
You got to stop falling asleep on the show.
I'm not falling asleep. I'm muting myself because I don't want to, like, you know, I'm laughing at all the little – I don't want to be a distraction, man, because it's pretty hilarious. But anyway, a lot of love. Again, guys have a fantastic week. Don't get into too much trouble, especially you, Rob. You know, it's all good, man. But again, be good. I can't wait to hear your sister, man. Thoughts from you guys. Have a great week, man. Talk to you later.
All right, y'all.